As Pastor Eric said, my name is Ben Hassinger, and it's a delight for me to be here with you all this morning. For those of you that don't know me, I am working at Providence Presbyterian Church, but also my family was part of the original group that helped plant New Life. So it's neat to be able to come and preach the word with you here today, kind of come full circle in that regard. The passage that we'll be looking at today is from Proverbs chapter 3. Now, the book of Proverbs is filled with wisdom, and today the sermon will be highlighting how we remain faithful to God. So let us now hear now from the Word of God, Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We're just so very thankful for the opportunity that we have to gather with our brothers and sisters this morning in Christ to worship you. Lord, as I'm up here today, I pray that you use me as your instrument to say your words. For it is you that changes people's hearts, not man. In your name I pray. Amen. As I was preparing the sermon for today, I was just thinking of different areas of my life that I remain faithful, and maybe in your life as well, where you remain faithful. For example, our jobs. If we work somewhere where we enjoy what we do or who we work with, we're faithful to that company, that place of employment. Our marriages. We remain faithful to our spouse in all aspects of our life, being sure that we are bringing honor and respect to our spouse. We also remain faithful to our church. When we agree with the church's teaching, mission statement, and vision, we tend to remain faithful to that congregation. And so as we are thinking more about faithfulness, I'm sure there are several different areas or circumstances that you can think about where you remain faithful throughout your own life. All of us here today have different stories, different jobs, different relationships, but I feel confident in saying we all have a similar drive when it comes to remaining faithful to God. Yes, we all have different life experiences, different tragedies we have faced, or maybe even different things that are going on in our life right now, but we all are here today to come together to worship the same God. Now, with that being said, I have a question for all of you. Have you ever experienced someone here on earth that has had your back and remained faithful to you no matter what people were saying? One of the best examples I personally have of this in my own life was actually my high school swim coach, Dick Geyer. I swam at York Suburban High School, and Coach Geyer, I mean, I could spend hours just sharing stories with you about Coach Geyer, but the story that sticks out most to me about remaining faithful is actually deals with a time when the lunch ladies accused the swim team of not paying for the milk in the morning. You see, when we were swimming in high school, we'd have morning practice, and after practice, the lunch ladies would provide milk for us to either have with our cereal or drink along with our meal. Well, and to be completely transparent with all of you, we were a mischievous bunch of young men. And so there were times when we were doing things that were not necessarily appropriate. However, the one thing we never did was lie to Coach. And he knew this. And so when the lunch ladies came to him and said that they would no longer be giving us milk in the mornings to go with our breakfast because we weren't paying for it, that afternoon he came and talked to us at morning practice before we got in the water. And he was going on about how we need to be responsible and pay for the things that we use and be respectful of the cafeteria. And we were confused as to why this was prevalent to be right before we hop in the water. But none of us interrupted him because, well, we didn't have the courage to interrupt his train of thought. Well, after he was done speaking, we told him, we said, Coach, we're not sure why they're saying this, but we promise we are paying for our milk. And so he said, okay, looked at our assistant coach, said, get in the water, get them in the water, and I'll be back. Well, we started practice, and about 10 minutes later, Coach came back onto the pool deck, and we remained practice as normal and finished our practice. Well, afterwards, he asked if we could stick around so he could talk to us. And he said that he had talked to the lunch ladies, and there's no need to worry because there will be milk in the morning. And we said, okay, great. And so the next day rolls around, we have practice, we go to the cafeteria to have breakfast, and the lunch lady, we go to pay for our milk, and the lunch lady says to us, no, don't worry, you don't need to pay for that. And we all were shaking. We said, no, you don't understand. We do need to pay for this, because he just told us yesterday the importance of paying for the things that we use. Well, lunch lady said, no, you don't understand. You see, the talk that Coach had with them is he went and paid for our milk for the remainder of the season because he wanted to make sure that we had breakfast each and every morning. And while that was a small moment, in a small gesture in the grand scheme of things, in that moment we knew he had our back and we would remain loyal to him through it all. Now, I don't know if any of you have a similar story in your own life, but what I can tell you is that God is far more faithful than anyone we have encountered here on earth. And his faithfulness is far greater, for it is perfect. And it is through his faithfulness that our response should be to remain faithful to him and how he has called us to live. And now this brings us back to our passage for today. Our passage today highlights how we remain faithful to God. We read in the first part of verse 5, the first way we are to remain faithful to God when given the command, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, in the Hebrew language, the word used here for trust is betah. This word is used when conveying the message that this is someone we can have confidence and assurance in. For us to be able to trust, as we are instructed in this passage, to have the confidence and assurance in the Lord that helps us remain faithful, I believe the first thing we must do is to remember his faithfulness. One of the best ways for us to remember his faithfulness is by turning to his word. For it is in his word where we read of his promises and are shown his faithfulness. There are many promises God has made throughout Scripture, but I personally believe God's promise of salvation and eternal life is by far the most comforting. This promise highlights God's faithfulness and shows his love, grace, and mercy towards his people, and specifically each of you here today. It reminds us that we have the promise of eternity with our Lord in heaven, that we are forgiven of our sins, and we have a Father who promises to never leave us nor forsake us, no matter what it is that we are going through now or may go through in the future. This shows us the truth that God is someone we can trust when things don't make sense. He is someone we can lean on when we are weak. He is someone we can cry to when we are grieving. And he is who we can continually turn to because he is faithful and his promises to us are true. This promise shows us that we can never do this by ourselves, because it would not be possible for you and I if not for the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. For it is by Christ's perfect obedience, his perfect sacrifice, and his conquering of the grave that we have the hope of this promise. And in my opinion, there is no greater fulfillment nor no greater reminder of God's faithfulness to his people than Christ. We read in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Now, every time I read that passage or hear it being read aloud, I take a moment just because of how powerful and impactful I know that has been in my own life and how impactful it is for all of us who put our faith in him. It reminds us of what a wonderful and loving Lord that we serve. When we are called to trust God with all our heart, we turn to his word to remember his faithfulness. For his faithfulness not only reminds us of his promises, but it also provides us with assurance. Assurance in Scripture highlights a confidence in the fact that we, as believers in Christ, are saved. When talking about assurance, there are two passages that come to my mind. First is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, where we read, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works so that no one may boast." You see, we read here that our salvation is a free gift from God. And we are given assurance because it is nothing we do but what Christ has already done for us by his perfect life, sacrifice, and death on the cross. Being reminded of what Christ has done for us is paramount. It is non-negotiable because without it, we would have nothing. The second passage I think of when discussing assurance is found in Romans chapter 8. And for me personally, in my own life, this has provided me, I think, with the most assurance out of any passage of Scripture. For we read in verses 38 and 39, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Brothers and sisters, what do we see here that separates us from God? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And we can rest assured in that promise because we know the word of God is true. When we are discussing God's faithfulness and the power it has in our life, Let us never forget it is through Christ that God's promises of salvation are fulfilled, and it is through Christ that we have assurance. If you are here today and have not yet put your faith in the Lord, I ask that you do so today. Do not let another moment pass you by where you are not in relationship with Him. And if this is something you're doing for the first time, I would love for you to come talk to me after the service, or please feel free to talk with Pastor Eric or any of the elders here at New Life so we can continue to walk alongside you in your walk with the Lord. The first thing we must do in order to rest in the faithfulness of God is to remember He is in control. How difficult is it for you to let go of control in your life? I know for me, there are times when it is incredibly difficult because control provides me with a false sense of security. I feel that if I remain in control, I don't have as much I need to worry about, or there's not as much that could go wrong. The truth is, no matter how hard we try, how stubborn we may be, God is always in control, even when we feel as though we are the ones still in control. When we let go of the need for control in our life, we begin to truly rest in God's faithfulness. And we begin to realize when we rest in God's faithfulness, there's enduring peace in our life. We read of this peace in John 14, verse 27, where it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." We also read in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." You see, both of these passages show us the good that comes from resting in the fact that God is in control. In John 14, 27, we read, "Our hearts will not be troubled nor afraid." And in Isaiah, we read, "Keeping our minds on the Lord leads to us being kept in perfect peace." We begin to understand that we can rest because God is in control, but also because he restores us. We read of restoration in Psalm chapter 23, specifically verses 1 through 3, where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Just like earlier when we talked about God's promises applying to each person specifically, we see here once again an individuality when we read, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, I'm not saying that God changes. God stays the same. But each person's circumstances are different. An area we may see this in life is when we are grieving. For there may be a family who is grieving a loss of a loved one. And each person handles grief differently. And our Lord is faithful to meet each person where they need him the most. Yes, God is the God of all his people. But here I believe David is highlighting a significant truth once again, that God is the God for each individual. The significance of our personal relationship with him. For what it says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul." Now, as earlier when I shared the story with you to begin this sermon here today, I was a swimmer. And so I swam for, if I remember correctly, about 15 years or so. And the water is very comforting to me. One of my favorite things to do is float on my back and have the water over my ears and just hear the flow of the water. Close your eyes and you're able to rest. So when I read, "He leads me beside quiet waters," I imagine incredible peace. And I know I've felt the peace of the Lord in times when I've had a lot going on in my life, felt overwhelmed, felt like, how am I going to get this done? Turning to the Lord in prayer, able to close my eyes, take a deep breath, and rest. And I firmly believe that that's the peace that this is trying to highlight for us here today. Friends, let us remember to rest in God's faithfulness because he is in control and he restores us. When we relinquish control and are restored by God, we are reminded to remain faithful to him. For we remain faithful by first trusting with all our heart and secondly, by seeking his wisdom. Seeking God's wisdom is seen in our passage today, starting in the second part of verse 5 and going through the first part of verse 7, where we read, "And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes." I think these verses are telling us when we are seeking God's wisdom, we must first overcome our shortcomings. The fact of the matter is we lived in a sin-cursed world. And there are moments, multiple moments a day, in which we fall short and sin against Him. Now, when we are thinking about sin in our lives, I want to be sure we are doing the best to stay in the middle. What do I mean by staying in the middle? I mean, we don't want to go so far to one end where we are excusing our behavior with things such as, well, it's not as bad as what this person did, or, oh, well, I said it under my breath, so they didn't really hear me, so how harmful is it? And or to the complete opposite side, where we think that we are just awful and have nothing good to offer, because neither of those are truth that we see in Scripture. I believe in order for us to overcome our shortcomings in a healthy and realistic manner, that is, to stay in the middle, we must turn to God. Now, there are four things I do personally that help me stay in the middle, and I find the time that I most often do these is during my morning devotions. The first is I pray. I spend time alone talking with God. I share what is on my mind, what may be weighing heavy on my heart, and the things in my life that I may need help with. The second is I read. I spend time in God's Word. For me, there is nothing in my life that is more important than my relationship with the Lord, because from that, everything else flows. In order for me to grow in my relationship with Him, grow as a husband, grow as a leader, I need to understand how God is calling me to live. The third is I meditate. I spend time reflecting on what I've read and how I can apply it to my life. For me, it can be very easy to become distracted with everything else I have going on in my life, with all the different tasks or with all the responsibilities I may have. So meditating on what I've read is very important for me. And then finally, I confess. If there's anything in my life that is keeping me from being in line with God, I repent, turn away from it, and ask God for forgiveness. I encourage you all here today, please feel free to use this example or find one if you don't already have one in your life. But let us all make sure we are taking the time each day to be alone with and worshiping our Lord. Because this daily time alone with our Lord is just one way we seek His wisdom as we are remaining faithful. The second way we seek God's wisdom is by following Him. We see this in verse 6 of our passage today, where we read, "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths." Now, this is not saying we will always have success or there will be no hardship in our lives. Rather, this is God reminding us His path is the best path for us. For it is the path where we find peace because it is guided by His wisdom and one in which we are resting in Him. There are three specific ways in which we need to be purposeful when we are following God. That is in everything we think, everything we speak, and in everything that we do. Now we know faith proceeds from the mind, so that means what we fill our mind with will determine how we live our lives. We must fill our minds with the truth from God's Word, reminding ourselves God is loving, God is merciful, God is just, and God is faithful. Reminding ourselves of who God is helps us to see the world through the lens of our loving Father. We think about people, our struggles, maybe our grief and our pain, all within the context of the Word of God, and our focus is no longer on those things here on earth, but on our loving Father, and we are now able to endure. We then need to be sure we are controlling our tongues, because the truth is, every word we speak, we are in control of. We have a choice. We can choose to show love or anger. We can choose to lift up or tear down. And we can choose to show forgiveness or even seek revenge. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you today to be sure we are always choosing to show the love of Christ. So we are mindful of what we think, we are careful of the words coming out of our mouth, and finally, we must apply it to every area of our lives. I know at Providence, where Lauren and I are members, and I'm on staff, as Pastor Eric said, they do a wonderful job of applying this to their lives. For I am constantly hearing of how people felt loved, welcome, a part of the church as soon as they walked in the building. And I must say, the short time that I've been here at New Life this morning, I've witnessed the same thing. People praying with one another, people coming up and introducing themselves to Lauren and I. I heard people laughing, little ones running around. Those are all wonderful things, and they show us the love of Christ. I encourage you, please keep doing that. For when we live our lives consistently in line with God, we do not need to worry about how we act at church compared to work. Maybe how we act at church compared to school. Or with one friend group compared to another, because in all areas we are consistent. In so doing, we are always being mindful to follow God and seeking His wisdom to better our lives. So I will remain faithful to God by trusting with all my heart, by seeking His wisdom, and finally, by fearing God and turning from evil. We read this in the second part of verse 7 from Proverbs chapter 3, where it says, "Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." When highlighting the fear of the Lord, it is important to understand that the fear being discussed is not like the fear we see here on earth. Here on earth, fear can be used to control us, manipulate us, and cause us to feel alone and isolated. But the fear of the Lord is the source of wisdom, which leads to obedience and is grounded in the understanding of God's authority. We read of this wisdom in Proverbs 1, verse 7, which says, "The fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Here, a person who is wise begins with building their foundation upon the Lord. This helps us have a clear distinction between creator and created. For when we begin to understand God's power, holiness, and transcendence above all creation, the only appropriate response is one of humility and reverence. We grasp our dependence on the Lord and realize it is only through His mercy that we are alive and have the promise of salvation. We read in Proverbs 19:23, "The fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied. He will not be visited by harm." We are able to rest satisfied in the fear of the Lord because of our submission to God's sovereignty and goodness, which is seen through His faithfulness and wisdom. Once we have the fear of the Lord, we are then able to turn from evil. Turning from evil is a conscious effort on our part stemming from the wisdom that comes from fearing the Lord. The active nature of turning from evil is highlighted in Psalm 34, verse 14, where it says, "Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." You see, in the Hebrew language, the verb translated as turn here is sur. Now, it's a verb in the cow imperative masculine singular. And the reason why I'm telling you this today is because it's the same sort of verb as what is used at the beginning of our sermon in verse 5 with the word trust. It shows it applies to each of us individually. It's active in nature. And that tells us to depart from evil as commanded in Psalm 34. We must acknowledge the wrongs we have done and turn to the Lord to ask for forgiveness. Once we acknowledge our sin, we must turn from evil and actively pursue what is good. For repentance is not just asking for forgiveness, but also a purposeful change in our actions. To follow the command to turn from evil, I believe, shows a departing completely, saying, "I am no longer going to pursue this sinful action, thought, deed, whatever it is that it may be. Rather, I am going to pursue righteousness and go towards my loving Father." And then we are given a promise by God of what will happen when we remain faithful to Him, by trusting with all our heart, by seeking His wisdom, by fearing Him and turning from evil. And we see this in verse 8 of our passage today, where it says, "It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones." Now, there's a note in my Bible with the word refreshment that highlights or medicine. And so as we're thinking about that, and we're thinking about how it will be healing to our flesh and refreshment to our bones, just like when we're sick here on earth and the doctor prescribes medicine, we need to make sure that we're taking that medicine. We need to be sure that we are following the instructions of the doctor. Well, the same thing is true with the word of the Lord. We need to be sure that we are in the word of the Lord, that we are, actively obeying God's commands in our life. For remaining faithful to God is something we must consciously work on every day of our lives. And when we remain faithful, it does not mean our lives will be easy, that we won't experience pain, loss, or fear. Rather, remaining faithful to God helps show us that these things do not control us, and they do not have the final say in how we live our lives. For we have a God who is good, a God who is faithful, and a God who loves us. Remaining faithful to Him reminds us of whose we are and who is always with us, no matter what life throws our way. Let us never forget this truth and remain faithful to our Lord by trusting with all our heart, by seeking His wisdom, and by fearing Him and turning from evil. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we love you. Once again, we are just so very thankful that we were able to be here in your house today to worship you. I pray that we all remember to turn to you throughout our week. That we remember that we have a loving Father who sent his Son Jesus to die on the cross to pay the full price of our sins so we can have the hope of eternity with him. And it's in your name I pray. Amen.